Hello, welcome everyone to episode 90 of the No Normal Show for Thursday, January 28th, 2021, brought to you by Revive Health. This is our weekly deep dive into how hospital and health system marketers can navigate what we call the no normal. I am Chris Bevelo, Health Systems Practice Lead at Revive Health and your host for the show. I'm joined by always by Chase Kleckner, Senior Marketing Manager at Revive Health and our show's producer. Hello, Chase.
Hey, Chris. Good to see you as always.
Good to see you too. We are also excited to have back with us again, Dave Perry, who many of you know. Dave is currently a senior advisor at Stanford Medicine and principal and founder of Perry IQ, a healthcare strategy and marketing consultancy. Prior to Perry IQ, David was chief marketing officer at the University of Utah Health, VP of marketing communications at Seattle Children's, and served in marketing roles at Microsoft, Quaker Oats, and venture-backed startups. Hello again, Dave.
Hey, Chris. It's good to be back. I feel like a return guest on Saturday Night Live or something. I'm honored.
Yeah, so you have to come back a few more times and we'll get you the robe that everybody gets.
That's right.
So looking forward to diving in with you, Dave. We'll get to good stuff here in a second. Just some housekeeping notes before we do dive in. If you're new to the show, on this podcast, we share industry trends, research stories from folks inside the industry like Dave, from folks from outside the industry. Anything we can do to help health system marketers and communicators navigate what we call the no normal successfully. If you want to know more about what we mean by the no normal, some principles to guide you in the no normal, Chase will be posting a link to a blog post which lays all of that out in the chat function, assuming you are joining us live here on the show. We have a great theme today. In talking with Dave, we're going to talk about the speed of change and how COVID has been a forcing function for that. But we want to just touch base on the episode from last week and update folks just a little bit. If you missed last week's show, it's all about vaccines. We talked a lot about guidance for how you manage vaccines in terms of communications. We talked a lot about the ways that hospitals and health systems aren't necessarily helping themselves right now. We had a great conversation in the chat going from attendees. We realized that a lot of what's happening with vaccines right now is out of the hands of hospitals and health systems. We are kind of at the mercy of federal and state governments in terms of supply and all of that. All of that said, there is a role we can play to mitigate any potentially negativity that comes out of it. We had a great conversation about the idea that many people in the communities that we serve think about the vaccine as not for us, those of us in the community, it's for them. And we need to, from a hospital and health system perspective, make sure we don't end up in that category of them. And just a couple updates. Unfortunately, we've got some activity that's still kind of is putting us in a bad light. So probably everybody at this point has seen this story about a hospital in Washington that had put out an email communication to its high-level donors, financial donors, those who had donated more than $10,000, saying they had reserved vaccines for them and they could register for those by invitation only. Again, that just completely feeds into the idea that the vaccine is for the rich, the elite, the people who have an in. It's not for everyday people. What's also unfortunate is kind of the feedback the hospital gave when they were called out by the governor of Washington and some media outlets. They said, hey, this wasn't offered exclusively to donors, but also to our board members, some patients, volunteers, employees, and retired health providers. So that's also not the best defense. Again, you've got a pretty exclusive set of folks there, board members, retired health providers. You know, those aren't folks that are on the front lines who, of course, those people need it in terms of employees. But we talked last week about how not all of your employees should be prioritized. And saying some patients just kind of says it all, right? We also have had governors in the states of Tennessee and Mississippi call out hospitals and health systems for restricting COVID vaccine distribution to their own patients. And we talked about that last week. So we understand why folks are prioritizing their own patients, because you can access them, you can communicate with them, but the role that you're playing is for the community, not just for your patient. So go back and listen to last week for more on that. Dave, is there anything you want to add to that before we dive into today's theme on speed?
It kind of reminds me of my father's advice to me is measure twice, cut once. I think you really have to think about those, you know, those distribution lists and the optics on that. And hopefully, I think there's a lot of very positive stories too, right? Of vaccines getting out. And I just found out my mother, who's in the zone, the age zone, is getting vaccinated on the 6th. So something is working somewhere throughout the country. And I think we'll just see more improvements as we go along and some lessons learned. But
yeah, for sure. And I think that the struggle is, to your point, distributing a vaccine is, for most people, would be seen as is kind of, hey, this is just kind of like a foundational thing that should be done well. And we know it hasn't been handled well by the federal government, by states. This isn't just about hospitals and health systems. But it's hard to like celebrate, look at us, we adequately distributed the vaccine. Like most people go, yeah, that's kind of what you're supposed to do. There are really fun stories and interesting stories. Like I think yesterday there was a story about some healthcare workers got trapped in a blizzard and they had vaccine with them. They were transporting and it was gonna, you know, you have to keep it at a certain temperature. And if they didn't use it, they would lose it. So they went up and down the line of cars who were also stuck in the snow and distributed to whoever needed it. Now that's a fantastic story, not necessarily attributed to hospital and health systems, but is that kind of story that on a positive side, it's just hard to kind of expect to get media attention for doing what you're supposed to do. So it's a tough place to be, to be fair.
I think it's a tough logistical challenge.
It is.
There's an older gentleman that was a friend of mine, a mentor of mine that was worked on the Normandy landing during World War II. And I don't think he compared to that, but it's a huge undertaking. There's so many pitfalls that can take place. I did read this morning where in California, I think Blue Cross or Blue Shield will get involved in distribution. So there are these third parties, you know, maybe quasi-private, nonprofits, whatever, that are skilled and probably distribution of this nature, I would assume. And hopefully we're kind of learning from that. And there's a lot of lessons learned here. And sadly, this may not be the last time we have to deal with a pandemic. And so I hope there's a lot of learnings from this that we can apply moving forward.
Let's keep
our fingers crossed we don't go through it again.
Yeah, that was a major theme, I think, mm-hmm. of the folks on the chat who we completely empathize with because they're hospital and health system marketers and communicators just saying there is no playbook for this. And that's very fair. But boy, there are some things you would think that people would go, maybe it's not a good idea to target our high-end financial donors with an exclusive vaccine offer. But who knows? Maybe they had great rationale. Let's not dive deeper into it. Let's shift to what we're here to talk about, Dave, with you. And that is the speed of change. One of the things that I think has been a theme over the past year has been how COVID-19 has been a forcing function to accelerate change and transformation in healthcare. So of course the cliche at this point example is the rapid explosion of virtual visits back in the spring of 2020. We've also heard from health systems who have talked about technology implementation that maybe had been charted across 12 or 18 months happening in a matter of weeks, primarily because there was no choice, they had to. And we've also talked about in terms of the no normal, what it means to live in the no normal in an era of uncertainty, really needed to be able to kind of be nimble and be able to act real time because things are changing so fast, like the vaccine distribution story we keep talking about. So let's dive into this kind of one section at a time. And maybe let's start talking about marketing speed and how that may have changed perhaps permanently because of COVID-19.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting situation to be in, I think, for marketing organizations because there is this demand for speed, but there's also so many safety protocols in place too, right? You don't want to fumble something related to COVID-19, yet you have to respond very quickly. So I think one of the things that I've realized is that process is important. I'm not the advocate of process need to be applied to everything. But in this case, I think when you've got these multiple swim lanes, hey, we need to resume care for selective surgeries. Oh my gosh, we've got to get out more safety protocols or you talk about testing while we're talking about vaccine. I mean, we're doing it at the same times, right? There's still a lot of testing going on. There's vaccines going on. So you really have to understand how to kind of be a great juggler. So you have to move quickly, but you have to have these checks in place. It's because if you move too quickly and fumble the ball, and particularly in relation to COVID vaccines and things like that, getting testing locations wrong, whatever it might be, common errors that you make, you know, when you're moving quickly. So I think it's probably a true test for all those folks that are listening out there, and maybe my peers, is how do you go about that? And my guess is we're still evolving, you know,
yes,
in that particular space. So I do think process and this idea of agility is going to be really important. It won't go away. I don't think it goes away after this. I think we've raised the bar on expectations. The good thing may be that our marketing departments have come through in a big way, our marketing communications, and that's probably set a new standard, whether they like it or not. You know, if you do a great job, keep doing it. So it's an interesting topic for us to dive into.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned agile, you know, agile marketing, agile design, those principles have been around for a while, obviously, well before COVID-19. And, you know, like a lot of things, what meant something very specific at one time has been bantying around so much that now probably means something much more diluted and, you know, broad. And real proponents of agile marketing might cringe sometimes. You know, when folks like me even use it in a way that's like, no, that's not really agile marketing, right? Just being fast is not agile marketing. Do you want to talk about your experience with agile marketing or what you've seen from that perspective?
Well, it's funny. I was just corresponding with the author of Agile Marketing. I used to work with at Microsoft, a guy named Jim Ewell, who hasn't really applied it that much to healthcare. He is dealing with a client of mine that is in a space, telehealth kind of space, where, hey, talk about someone that was put under the gun, right? Is if you offer that service pre-COVID, suddenly you're the most popular man or woman in town, and how do you service customers in a much more rapid way? So that's how I got exposed to it. And ordered the book, thanks to Amazon, it came in a day, and I'm starting to get into it. But I do think a lot of it starts with prioritization, right? You can move your processes along, but let's say you have 38 of them and 18 are really tier two or lower priority. I think you do have to make some decisions to shed some weight, right? It's like put more wood behind fewer arrows. And then I think you can be much more effective. I'm not sure you can take hundreds of projects, and you can streamline those, but I think a lot of it is making those tough decisions up front. So that's one of the takeaways. And in healthcare, I think we have a hard time letting go. You know, we're service-oriented people. And if the department chair, in the case of an academic medical center, wants something, we want to deliver for that individual. So that's one of the first steps. If I'm looking at it, you know, first you've got to kind of step back and do a bit of an audit of what you're doing. And I said to a colleague yesterday, sometimes I feel like we're like Sisyphus, you know, that story of the guy pushing the rock up the hill. Are we on the right hill? And are we pushing the right rock? It's the question that I posed to the group yesterday. So
yeah,
that's the first step.
Yeah. And you know, I am certainly not a, whatever you would call somebody who closely follows agile marketing, whatever that came up with the term, or like, I think it's a fantastic concept. And I think when applied right, it has a lot of benefits. One of the principles, as I understand it, is the idea of, hey, you iterate. This is about sprints where you iterate, you may go to market, you iterate, you go to market, you test, you change, you do all that as you go. Mm-hmm. You don't try to figure it all out in one fell swoop, then put it out. And I think there's a lot of ways we can apply that and are going to need to apply it in marketing. So digital allows so much opportunity for that kind of process and thinking. Mm-hmm. What's tough is the need for speed, especially, you know, with the topic we started with something like vaccines, but also the need for caution, because you can't go out there with vaccines. We all know about the difficulties, for example, in demonstrating to communities of color, in particular Black Americans, the need to take vaccines, and that this is something they should be doing. It's not that they don't know, it's just they don't want it. They've got a lot of good reasons historically for why they would say no thank you to this. And it, you know, we can't be like running out there with messages and testing them with that community, finding out they fail, trying back, you know, like, we have to be super careful, because if we take the wrong step, we can make it worse and dig that hole deeper. But at the same time, we got to move. There's just, there is an urgency to this. And in fact, even internally, I'll share with the agency in trying to figure out, because we work with a lot of clients who are trying to communicate around vaccines, how do we be more inclusive in our communications? How do we consider communities of color, or again, more specifically, Blacks in our community and the difficulties with vaccine there, the right way, because that takes thought and research and real outreach, and yet at the same time, get out there. And it's very, very difficult to match the speed that's necessary with the right approach.
Yeah, well, I will say to touch back on agile marketing, I got a taste of it a number of years ago when I was working with Seattle Children's. I worked for the president and COO, and we went to Japan. We visited Nissan, we visited Toyota, we all had to read the Toyota Way, Kanban, Kaizen. And you mentioned something about being careful or cautious, and that's pulling the cord, right? When you're the worker on the line building the Highlander, you pull the cord. And I do think it's a challenge in healthcare. A lot of our organizations are very top down. I deal a lot with academic medical centers, and you start with the dean, the chairs, et cetera. And I don't think that's their intention, but you don't want to say stop or challenge unless you're really sure. And some of those cultures, it's hard to stand up and say, we got to step back for a minute. And that's when, you know, when mistakes can happen. But we have been, at least in the on the clinical side, Seattle Children's was a good example. And now my former boss, president and CEO, has left, and that's what he does. He consults on this very topic. But I think the other interesting thing in agile marketing is that a lot of it stems from the author of the book I mentioned, Jim, worked with me at Microsoft, and it did start as a software development concept. I actually started here in Utah. I'm sitting in Salt Lake City. It was out at Snowbird, where a bunch of developers got together and started sort of this scrum process of iteration. And it's a little tough sometimes to layer that into healthcare. Like, hey, let's just iterate. Hey, mistakes are okay. I used to say that in higher ed. Who died? I can't say that at the end of the day in healthcare, sadly, because people do, you know, perish. Yeah. But I think there's a lot of elements. There's six disciplines. That's what the book talks about. And there's definitely the opportunity to apply that to what we do. But I also think a really important step is this earlier, stepping back and really looking at everything we do. And I think COVID has pushed us, right? If it's not COVID related or resuming care, why are you doing it? You know, in those tough times, April, May, June. Yeah. And then we got hit with the issues of racial injustice. And then that's to your point, you had to really then open another door there and say, what are we doing there? And I just, you know, I just published an article on Medium, so I was spending some time on that. And there was an article talking about terms we use that, depending on the culture, might seem offensive. Cakewalk, nitty gritty. You know, we talk about, oh, that project's a cakewalk, or let's get down to the nitty gritty. The nitty gritty was the bottom of the slave ship. So if you have history that dates back there that can be, you know, somewhat challenging, traumatic, as well as cakewalk was something that owners of slaves had slaves do with the chains around their legs, et cetera. I didn't know that, you know, that's my issue, right? We need, as a communicator, we need to be aware of these things. And I think a lot of organizations in our industry are doing a great job. At Stanford, we have a great VP and heading up the area of diversity, inclusion, and equity. And making us all more aware day by day. And it's a process. Speaking of process, different type of process. So
I think
a perfect storm over the last 12 months or so.
It has been. And that's one of the principles of the no normal is, like, you know, we're in such a period of uncertainty and dramatic change. You can't assume the things that you knew before that were effective or that you thought were certainty are going to be moving forward, or even in the moment are. And so a big part of kind of navigating the seas we're in is really being open to and pushing for constant learning, because that's what it takes. And that is speed, right? So speed used to be, we're going to run a survey, you know, we're going to look at the results, we're going to do it every 6 months. And, you know, 6 months ago is a completely different world than today from the 6 months before. I mean, that is, you know, or planning is another area, right? So we have to move faster with research. The idea of annual planning, a lot of organizations have said, look, trying to plan on an annual basis in this environment is kind of insane. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you've got to have long-term goals and you've got to have a vision. All that still applies. But planning, a lot of organizations have come down to quarterly planning or even monthly planning because this is an ongoing crisis. So those are examples of kind of situations or dynamics that have had to be condensed and in that way add to the speed of what we're doing, I think is a great way to think about it. Another one is brand, right?
Yeah, I mean, you got me thinking when you were talking about annual planning. I was just reading about taking a course, organizational behavior course. By the way, I wish I would have taken more of those, right? Because it's all about
love that.
In this article, I wrote "Culture Eats Strategy for Breakfast." It's a Peter Drucker quote, and that people responded to that because it's so true, right? If you don't understand the culture, I can move forward. But performance reviews. Annual performance reviews, particularly among the new generation coming in, whether that be actually past millennials, Gen Z?
Yep.
They want to know, you know, monthly, weekly. So I think Adobe and others have just dropped that, right? You don't wait to, and of course, the along a curve of 0 to 5, all those things. So I think this whole speed thing touches a lot of different things we're doing. I will say on iterating, I've been working on some MarTech projects, and the idea of being able to have tools to test things with. Now, let's not say we're not at the clinical level of testing out. Let's try this scalpel instead of this scalpel. For us, it's like A/B testing almost, right? What messaging around, maybe it is around equity or what have you, is working. You can do that. You can do that safely, right? You can use things like marketing automation and CRM to get information out. Maybe adjust if the information isn't clear or maybe isn't resonating. So I think, and the same with the brand, one of the things on if you're working on your brand right now, if you're not looking at reasons to believe and pillars that take into account diversity, equity, and inclusion, I think you're missing it, right?
Right.
It's, I think in the past, it's been like one of those things like, oh, that's the audience. Well, we definitely are going after audiences of color. No, I think it's a bigger deal than that. It's a new pillar, if you will, right? Because just look at the trends in population alone should move you in that direction. But I think just the last year, at least, has made me much more aware of how your messaging, how your tone and manner, what does that brand stand for? And a lot of times our brands maybe don't appeal to all the people we wanted to appeal it to because of we're not taking that into account. I hope that makes sense. That may be a little too esoteric, but
no. I think it's perfect. And again, it kind of goes to keep the theme of speed and being agile. This, even in that, you know, so we've been talking so much about COVID, but the social justice issues / political issues, as we all are aware, you know, dramatically change day to day sometimes. I mean, what was there was like 3 Wednesdays in a row of like Capitol insurrection. Next Wednesday was impeachment. Next Wednesday was inauguration. Like that's within 15 days, 3 massive things in 15 days, right?
Yeah.
And so we just have to continue to stay on top of all that. And I think it is unfortunately easier when it comes to health equity, diversity, inclusion, all of those things to kind of just, you know, well, this was an event and now it's no longer an event. Like this is no longer about press releases. It's no longer about, oh, we've got to figure out what to say because there was, you know, the George Floyd uprising. There was whatever it was. We have to figure out what to say now and then we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I think the point I hear you make, and I think it's completely right, is no, this is something that we're going to continually have to be in with forevermore if we're smart about it.
I agree. I think it's like the speed issue. I think the bar has been raised. It's a new standard. One thing that I've noticed too during this period is we feel like we have to make a statement about everything, our organizations, right? And you should, and certain, you know, there were a lot of issues, racial injustice, COVID, but I think we also got to think about it. If we keep putting out press releases on every little thing, you know, it's kind of like the cry wolf thing. Well, what are you doing about it? So I think it kind of goes hand in hand. If you're going to make a statement, is it going to be instilled or baked into what you're doing? And that's what I fear too, is if we might feel like this pressure to make statements about everything, are we building it into what we're doing? Is your brand living up to those statements you made during the heated times, and how is it going to have longevity and staying power over time? And that's hard. Yeah. It's hard to maintain that as our staffs change and we move on, we get a new CEO or whatever the leadership, but you know, it's part of that vision and mission work. I think that we're going to revisit probably because of things like this moving forward in 2021 and beyond.
Well, let's talk about that because when we think about, you know, the way we define the known normal is it's a period of uncertainty that we've had since COVID, obviously social injustice, all the things we experienced as a country in the summer, plus political, you know, best case scenario for us is we're moving out of COVID-19 as a crisis. Late spring, early summer, best case, like let's hope that the Brazilian variant and the South African variant and all these things don't cause that to be wrong. But best case, you know, we're at a place with vaccines, we're eventually with herd immunity sometime in 2021. But even then, it's going to take some time for the dust to settle, for us to understand the long-term implications of what's happened during this COVID period on consumer behavior, on healthcare industry, all of that. So it's easily through the end of this year that we're still going to feel like the no normal, and maybe into 2022. From your standpoint, Dave, what are the things that you're experiencing and some of the things that you're observing and some of the things we've talked about, do you think will be long lasting?
You know, I think being able to pivot, I'm speaking as teams now, this idea that there are multiple things going on at once. Hopefully there won't be another summer of, you know, spring, summer, March, whatever it was, onward of 2020. But I do think we've been looking at communities, right? What do communities expect of a health system? I think that's being redefined as we sit here. Like, they expect you to be an information provider. Content marketing is going to become very important. And a lot of it is, you got to be careful because a lot of it's logistical information. When can I get a vaccine? Well, how old are you? Are you an essential worker? You know, and of course, depending on what county you're in some cases, or municipalities, it varies between different counties and different states, et cetera. So that's going to be really something that I think we're going to have to get used to, is being able to be versatile. That this agility comes up again, this idea of being able to pivot. So a couple of things. I do think that I do see our ability to generate informative, relevant, actionable content is going to be very important. I think people are going to get used to that. These websites we've all developed, you know, hats off to Johns Hopkins with this dashboard. People expect that kind of real-time information, and I'm not sure that's going to go away. We've already talked about the speed of things. I saw a question come in from someone I know well, very good question, about evolution, like how do you get your teams to evolve, you know, and adapt. The other thing is best friends at work is what I call it. You've always had to be good friends with IT and HR is two examples, and operations. You're going to be tied at the hip with them. You are now, and that probably is not going to change that much. You see that facilities is really important, particularly if you're putting testing into rooms that weren't testing before, or auditoriums or what have you. This idea of working with HR, particularly when it comes to racial injustice and issues with equity, I think there's going to be a tighter link than there ever has been before. And when you think about the brand, we always want our employees to be ambassadors, but now more than ever, I think you're going to have to work hand in hand to really integrate and activate the brand through the employees, right? And look, we're looking now at social media where you see behavior of employees that are healthcare workers. You got to be careful, right? Were you wearing a mask when you posted, particularly if you were in a particular environment? I think there's a lot more scrutiny there. All those things kind of start to add in. And then on the IT side, I just see marketing probably being a bigger purchaser than they even have before, particularly in healthcare. We're behind, right? This is in CPG and software industry, and they CMOs on those industries have probably been the biggest purchasers of technology for a number of years, maybe more than the CTO is, because really they're the client to the IT oftentimes. I think that's going to be a big, big change in our industry as we start to develop more of these tools and use technology in new ways. So I don't, I think it's accelerated. You use the term forcing function, but I'm not sure a lot of that stuff's going to go away. I think we got to get used to a new normal or a no normal moving forward. I think for the most part, it's good. We're going to have a seat at the table more than we have in the past. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a point of view. We're going to be able to bring data to the table, right? I can think of, I was thinking of one client, if we had CRM at the time and have been able to really start resuming care, going back to get those elective surgeries, had we had a little bit more technology to move more rapidly. Lesson learned, I think accelerated the approval of all those purchases as well.
Yeah, I think that's all great. And Chase reminds me that we had a guest on from Mayo Clinic, Adam, a month ago, who talked about, he's from the area of Mayo Clinic that's all about understanding trends and how they're going to impact Mayo Clinic. And he said 2020 accelerated their trends by 7 years. So the things they thought were coming that way down the road, it's like, nope, they're all here. That shows speed. The other things I would just add to what you said, just kind of building on a couple of them, the digital experience is not going away. People are going to expect more and more availability through digital, through virtual visits than ever before. And then again, we hit this, and I think it's just worth saying again, you will have to continually monitor what you in your department and your organization is doing in terms of social justice, health equity, health disparities, DEI. We heard from a consultant last week that, when Barack Obama was in office, there was a lot of expectations for a greater scrutiny on these issues. And it didn't really come about for all kinds of reasons. And a lot of the folks who run the NGOs and who are thought leaders in these spaces kind of said, well, we're going to give a pass. And then we had our last president and it was like, just hunker down and survive. And the thinking now is they're not going to give Joe Biden a pass on these things, which means they're not going to let it go. They're going to continue to press. And because we are seeing hospitals and health systems, that is, at the center of these issues when it comes to health, we can just expect to be the center of a lot of that conversation. And we have to learn, not to avoid it, not to minimize it, but to really figure out how can we be part of the solution, not the problem. I'm going to get to a question that came in. I think this is a great one. Besides vaccination communication, when or how do you think it's appropriate to market services such as surgeries, primary care, again?
Systems are doing that already. It depends on what part of the country you're in. My advice would be to be thoughtful about it. Now, there are a lot of surgeries, you can say they're very elective, maybe bariatrics, very elective, but heart surgery or an appointment with your cardiologist or electrocardiologist, pretty important stuff, right? You can't, you don't want to take a slot from someone that might be suffering from COVID, but if there is capacity, I think the onus is on us to say our doors are open for those of you through safety protocols. More of it's the mindset of the patients maybe not wanting to come, maybe directing them to areas that aren't maybe the main hospital, but clinics that don't have the level of volume and traffic related to COVID. But I think if you've got the capacity, I don't think it's opportunistic or overly self-serving to let folks know we're resuming care. We're open to for these procedures. And some of them, if you delay them, are life-threatening. Let's be honest about it. I think most systems are doing that in a pretty thoughtful way. Kind of this idea of we're here for you, right? We're here for you, whether it's COVID information or that important primary care appointment that you may need to have. Let's do it via telehealth option. I think there's a little bit of education too. I think sometimes people are reluctant to take advantage of all the avenues or options they have, particularly if it's the older generation. So we're probably going to have to still continue to be educators to have people understand it's okay to come into this location. It's okay. This is telehealth option that you could use for this particular appointment. So and the technology is getting so much better. In fact, I don't think this is a tangent. When I think of marketing teams think about remote talent, right? This idea of a little bit of a different take on this. We understand telehealth, we're all in this webinar today. I see teams getting a lot more work done virtually and being able to attract talent. If you're in a high cost market and you can't get people to move, or there's some situations family-wise, but you really want this candidate, I think that's going to be very positive for marketing in our systems, particularly because we are viewed as cost centers by most CFOs. And there might be more cost-effective ways to get better talent and get more done. And that would be a positive for us too, right? We could be a higher return organization. So that's going off a little on the finance side, but you got me going on that.
There's
something you said earlier.
Yeah, I think what I would add to that is we still see reports, and I'm sure everybody who's listening in has seen them too, that delay of care is still a big issue. People are still delaying essential care, right? We joke about elective. We all need to come up with a better word, because elective just means non-emergent. But if you've been suffering from hip pain for 2 years, that hip surgery is not in your brain elective, nor should it be for us. So I think to your point, David, if folks have the capacity and are able to serve people, they should absolutely be marketing those services. Not only because folks need to know it's okay, and that's part of the message, but the organization desperately needs that revenue. And so I think the key is, to your point, to be thoughtful and to remember that we're still in a place of COVID. And I think the same goes for brand. We're going to be getting to a place, hopefully in the spring and in the summer, where maybe COVID isn't always the top message, right? And as people shift their brand messages to talk about things that maybe aren't COVID specific, we have to remember that we can't just go out with something that is, I don't know what the word is, just completely blind to the fact that there's still a COVID hangover. People are still dealing with COVID. Whatever you're going to be saying as you transition out needs to have a tie back somehow. Mm-hmm. The difference will be, it won't be necessarily the main message. But I think, like, anytime, this is just a big stab in the dark, anytime the spring or the summer, going out with brand messages that have no connection to COVID is going to be a mistake. It's going to feel like you're really not aware of still the situation, and you're wanting to just move on and the world isn't ready. You can be moving on, but you're going to have to do it gradually. That's just my take on it.
Yeah. You know, you've got to figure out, when do you look tone deaf? You know,
that's the word. Thank you. I was like, what's the word?
What's tone the bar deaf? For looking tone deaf? I will say this. I have had to travel a couple of times during this period, which is always a little, challenging. It's going to be interesting. So I flew Delta most recently. They are still blocking out the middle seat through the end of March. Now that's going to change, right? I think they're going to need the revenue. I had another friend that flew on a different airline, and he said he was squeezed in between two large human beings for 3 hours. As he was disembarking the plane, the staff came on and said, please adhere to social distancing guidelines as you exit the plane. You're like, okay, I've been crammed in as like a sardine with, in this middle seat. But I will notice too, I have obviously worked with hospitals. I've seen a new standard among hospitals, just clinically, the environment that probably won't go away either. So I feel more comfortable. My wife just had knee replacement Friday, January 15th. And when you went in, you saw a different level of safety and concern that translated to her surgery. I'd call it elective, but she was in pain, so we needed to get in. And I think that's important to remember too. I think it's going to make us better providers after all this, right? There'll be new standards set in place on the clinical side, not just for us marketers. So that's good. I don't know, other things, when I go to Hilton 6 months from now, where there still be that little butterfly sticker where you open the door and it's like that seal with the Lysol logo on it. Will that partnership continue on? Will my remote for the TV still have a plastic around it? I think that probably would be a good idea. I mean, COVID or not, hotel room remotes probably need to be cleaned regularly. It's a germ, kind of a germ center. So I think there's some real positives that come out of this. And for marketers, lemons to lemonade is, I'm called Pollyanna sometimes, but I do think they're great opportunities for us to rise to the occasion, be the be the key provider of information, be the problem solvers. Because we often hear folks say, oh, my boss thinks branding is for cattle. They don't understand what I do. Well, this is where you are going to be really close to the boiler room. You're part of the solution. A lot of these a lot of our friends out there have been frontline. Their tank's probably getting close to empty. But I think maybe they've proven their mettle to the doubters, finance, operations, and others. Like, marketing does have a viable strategic role to play. And I hope that doesn't change coming out of this.
Yeah. Well, that's a good place to end. That's a really positive, hopeful message.
Yes. Upbeat.
It is. It's very upbeat. Well, Dave, thanks for coming back. You got two punches on your buy four, get the fifth free. So that's cool.
Three's a charm, I think. We got to come up with another. I really enjoy talking with you guys, and I hope the listeners have too, but I look forward to doing this again sometime.
Yeah, we love having you on. You always have great opinions and great stuff to share. So thank you so much for joining.
You're welcome.
Chase, sir, thank you, as always.
Absolutely. Enjoyed it as well.
For those listening live, or if you listen to this later, please let us know if there's something you want us to cover. If you are live, you can post that in the Zoom chat channel right now. Or you can shoot us an email at nonormal@thinkrevivehealth.com. Remember to visit thinkrevivehealth.com/no-normal for a recording of today's show, video recording by the end of today. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next week, as always, good luck out there and the no normal. Thanks for joining.